And he said, I'm reminding you to fan it into flames. And then the second sermon in the series was, God did not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and a sound mind. Sometimes we have fanned into flame, but we are afraid. There's something that is holding us back from doing what God calls us to do. And right after he tell him, fan him to flame, he say, remember, God did not give you a spirit that makes you a coward. When God's spirit is in you, you are not a coward, because God did not give that to you. He gave you a spirit of power. And that power is the same power where that woman with the issue of blood went and touched Jesus' garment. Jesus said, I feel power flowing from me. Same kind of power. It's the anointing. God has given you the anointing to do and operate in the gift and the calling that is on your life. And with that, he said, I'm not just only giving you power. I'm giving you love. Because if we only operate in power, we could do more damage than we want to. We have to have the, what kind of love? The agape love. That word is not just love, it's agape love. He has given us the God love. So that we could operate with this type of power we have, so we don't ruin people's life. And then he says, not only that, but I've given you a sober mind. You know, my grandfather, when he got paid, he didn't come home sober. And because he didn't come home sober, he didn't come home with any money at all. He worked all week, and he didn't drink at all. They steal it from him when he's drunk. He didn't have a sober mind. God wants us to have a sober mind so we know what we're doing, so we can be alert, so that we can pay attention, that we can be led by the Holy Spirit, that we can use the power that God has given us, the anointing, that we can be operate in love, because Jesus, the apostle says that everything else is going to pass away. But you see, love, that kind of love that is patient, that kind of love that is kind, that kind of love that is long-suffering, that kind of love that covers a multitude of sin, that is the kind of love, the agape love. And we have a sound mind. Today, he wants us to be dressed for success. To be dressed for success. You know, I've never walked down the road. Well, I have. In Trinidad, I walked down the road and I saw a man with a shirt on and no pants, no underwear, just walking down the road. I was praying that Anya didn't see. Something is wrong. Something is wrong. If you were to walk down the road and you see a man with only a shirt on and no pants, no underwear, you're going to say something is wrong. That man needs to be locked up and be in some kind of treatment to get his mind right. Not only that, I was shopping at what they call that place, Tuesday morning, buying the curtains for the church. And as I walk out Tuesday morning, there's a woman walking in the parking lot, stark naked. She ain't dressed at all. Here's the problem. Some of you Christians right here this morning is just like those people. Half dress does not cut it. No dress at all is even worse. We are half dressed and expect to be successful. If that man walked into my office when I was a manager and looking for a job, I would call 911. and they were taking him in a straitjacket. If that woman walked into my office and was looking for a cashier job, well, it may have given me more customers, but at a still, I would have called 911 and she would have been arrested. But I want to tell you this morning, we as believers, we are operating and walking half naked, and some of us completely naked, and we are expecting to do the will of God. How is that? Therefore, no, hold on, go back. Verse 10, Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against authority, against the cosmic powers over present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Did it say part of it? Did it say let's take up just one piece? Let us just take up the sword. Let us just take up the salvation. Let us just take up the... No, it says put on. Well, that's King James. I memorize it in King James. But it says, take up. King James says, put on. Get dressed. The whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil days, and having done all, stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and the shoes of your feet, having put it on, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication to the end. Keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. Father, transform us in Jesus' name. Amen. C.S. Lewis said that Satan's most clever trick is to convince the world that he doesn't exist. Coming from a third world country, I could tell you Satan exists. I don't know how much you all realize or recognize it in America. Now, you guys believe it because you read it in the Word. But do you live like it's really true? There's one thing about knowing something, and there's another thing by knowing something. There's a war going on. And many times we are fighting the wrong enemy. We fight our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We fight our friends. We fight our parents. We fight our husbands and our wives. We fight our sons and our daughters. We fight our mothers and our fathers. We are fighting a battle, and we don't even know who the enemy is. And the reason for that is because we don't spend time in God's word so we know who the enemy is. We fight like our enemy is the person sitting next to us. But he says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. There's a war going on, folks. And many times, we are wounding the soldier that is fighting next to us. And it's not a stray bullet. He said, we do not fight against flesh and blood. He said, but we fight against rulers, against authorities, against cosmic powers over this present darkness, against spiritual forces of evil in heavenly places. You know, it's hard to fight against an enemy that you could see. You know that? It is hard to fight against an enemy you could see, especially when you see yourself as the weaker one. I remember I had to been probably 11. And this guy in school wanted to fight with me. And my nature is love, not war. That's just my nature. So I am. And let me tell you, children are something else. You see, kids, everybody's pumping this thing up except me. And I'm thinking how I could get out of school without having to be seen. And I'm afraid. I mean, I am afraid. And I'm waiting quickly to get out before I sit in class a little bit longer than possible, waiting. When I get out, the circle was already made and they're waiting for me. And let me tell you, it's tough when you had a fight. And boy, I got that boy in a hole by accident and I wouldn't let go. Because my mother taught me, don't let go until they go down. And I had him in a choke hole by accident. Only maybe it was the Lord, I know. But I wasn't letting go. And to tell you the truth, they had to come and take me off because I think he'd have died. Because I was afraid. And I was making sure I ain't letting go so he could come back and beat on me. So when I'm done, he's done. See, that's the end. We are afraid to even fight with the enemies we can see. How on earth can we fight with the enemy that we cannot see? How many of you have seen Satan? Anybody have seen Satan here this morning? Okay, anybody have seen cosmic powers of this present darkness in the air? Anybody has looked up in the heavenlies and seen the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places? I have not. I've read where people had visions, but I haven't. When I read this, I feel like we are outgunned and outnumbered. But he said to stand. Now, the only thing I could look to is movies. I've never been in the war. I've never been in a war, but I've watched movies. I've watched movies where the side has less people and the side that's going to lose have thousands, and they would line up against each other, and they would have those shields, you know, and somebody, the leader would say, stand still, put your heels in, stand still, hold on, hold. And I'm thinking, if I was there, I would not want to be in the front. And I don't know if I could hold on because I see what's coming. But he would say, hold on. Hold on. Put your heels in. And this is what he's saying right here. Come on, folks. I want you to dress for success so you can put your heel in the ground and you can hold on and you could stand. Don't matter what comes. You could stand firm, but you have to be dressed right. How do we dress? Now, I could go in, or many scholars probably could go in and take each one of these things, each one of this, the garment, and go into big details, but that's not what I'm going to do this morning. But we must dress. We must know the enemy, number one, and then we must be dressed appropriately. We must put on the full armor. I believe that Paul had an idea, or maybe because he was in prison, he saw a lot to do with war. He may not have been on the front lines, but he saw them get ready for war. He saw them get dressed for battle. I don't know. So the way I preach, I could see that if I'm driving down the street and I see something, I said, boy, I could use that in a sermon. I wonder if that same thing happened here with Paul. He said, first, you have to put on truth, righteousness. You have to be ready to give an answer or proclaim the gospel. You have to have faith, salvation, and the word of God. As I read this, is any of these things missing in your life? If it's missing, you're not dressed the way a believer should be dressed every day. Now, this is not something we put on and take off. Paul wasn't saying, okay, when you go to bed at night, take off your whole armor and be defenseless. And when you wake up in the morning, have your coffee, eat your breakfast, about 10 o'clock, strap on the armor. That's not what he's saying. He is saying, we need to strap this on and keep this on. And he says, first of all, we must have truth. Now, the word of God is truth, but the word of God is down there further. Truth. The gospel is truth. But I want to take it to a little lesser level than most scholars would take it. What about being truthful? What about being truthful? Some of us is not even truthful with ourselves. We can't even be truthful with others. Sometimes we let our circumstances predict our truth. I had a guy that I loved him. He loved the Lord. We work in VN together, Tres Dias. And we believed pretty much the same until his daughter came out of the closet. When his daughter came out of the closet, his truth changed. Sometimes we allow our situation and we allow what we're going through to change the truth. The scripture tells us that we should be truthful with one another as believers. Righteousness, doing the right thing. That's the simplest term of the word. And doing the right thing with a pure heart. That's how a Christian does it. Having the righteousness of Christ. Here's the one I think most of us probably fell short in. Some of us may be able to tell the truth all the time. Some of us may even say that I do the right thing, just like that guy when Jesus says to him, keep the Ten Commandments. He kept them all, he said. Some of you may be there. But what about this one? Ready to always defend your faith and to share Christ with others. When was the last time you shared Christ with somebody? When was the last time? When was the last time you hear somebody say something and you could defend the faith and you stayed closed-mouthed? You're not fully dressed. Here's a faith. Do you know the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, I believe faith here is the shield. I believe it's the shield to quench all the fiery darts of the enemy. When I was going to school at Tocoa Falls College, I was there for 2 weeks, and I was having a hard time, and somebody wanted to send me a word of what was going on. They said, we're expecting him to be back in less than 2 weeks. Before they're praying for me, before they're asking God to help me have success, they were fighting the wrong enemy. And when I heard that, faith kicked in. I said, the Lord placed me here. The Lord is going to take care of me. The Lord is going to take me through. And not be able to read or write or spell good, or even have someone to pay my school bill, I graduated with a B, 3-point-something average, a minor in Greek, and owing the college less than $300. See, you have to have faith. If you want to use the gift and the calling in which God has called you, you must have faith. Don't let your circumstances predict your outcome. You will never see victory if you accept defeat. Salvation. Now, many scholars I read a few things, and I wonder why he didn't start with salvation. If I was to do this, I would say, well, salvation is the most important thing, and salvation. But Paul was using the sequence in which they put on their armor. Now, I don't know if it's significant. I know that the belt held other things, helped you put on the breastplate. Without the belt, the breastplate would be kind of heavy to stay in place to get it all put together. But salvation, here's the thing. You cannot do anything for God and see eternity with him if you're not saved. You just can't do it. You have to get saved. And the only way to do it is through Jesus Christ. And the only way you could do it through Jesus Christ is to have faith in him. And the only way you could do it through Jesus Christ is to know that you have offended God, that you have lived a life that is not pleasing to God, and God is going to judge you on the last day. It says that appointed on man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. No matter what you believe, it's coming. And there's only one way. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We have to repent. And you know, salvation is the helmet. It protects your mind. So we have to have that. The other is the Word of God. How many of you today could at least quote or give me the idea of a text? 10 things in the Word of God that you use on a regular basis to help you walk in right. You don't even have to know it word for word. How many are you? How many? You're getting sideswiped all the time with the enemy. He's coming against you. He has his sword. He has his darts. He has everything. He has his schemes. He has his his invasion on your life, and all you have is nothing. Maybe one scripture. Some of you don't even know, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. How can you fight if you don't have any sword? You could see somebody going into battle and all they have is a shield. All you're doing is this. You can't even fight back. The word of God is like a two-edged sword in the hand of a believer that wants to operate in the gift and the calling in which God has gifted and called you. I remember at times, I'm driving home and my mind wants to go. I said, no, I am going to think on the things that are lovely, the things that are of a good report. Why? I've read it in scripture. Sometimes things are coming against me and I'm done. Last week I was kind of done and I'm saying, no, I cannot be done. My word of God, the word of God tells me that I can thank God in everything. In everything, give God praise. And that's what I was doing. When I get to the place and I'm thinking, Lord, how are you going to provide? I say, my God can supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And then I said, God, you said to bring in your tithes and your offerings and show, prove me. And I said, Lord, I have done that and I'm proving you, Lord. And guess what? I could look back on my life and I can see that God has taken care of me. Why? I got the word of God. Some of you are living defeated lives because you do not have the word of God, the sword to cut the enemy down. You cannot see him, but let me tell you something. The word of God will find him wherever he is. And after you get dressed and you're ready to go, you cannot go out there without prayer. I was telling myself yesterday, I said, you've got to pray more. I was speaking to me. I pray that you would speak to yourself. Because, you know, I got the word of God thing done good. I'm in the Word of God every day. And that's not because I'm a preacher. 6 o'clock every morning, I get downstairs. And I open my Word of God. And I read my Word of God. Ever so often, I'm amiss. But I don't let the next day go by without it. Right now, I'm in Revelation. Almost to finish the whole book. For probably the fourth time. Shame on me. It should be my 10th or 20th time. How many of you has read through the Word of God? Genesis to Revelation. But one, I used to be a prayer warrior. And I can see a little bit of lax in that. I think it's sufficient just to pray in my car. I think it's sufficient just to pray when I'm laying down on my bed. I think it's just sufficient to pray when I'm going through something hard. And we don't have a problem with that. You know, if you're all going through something hard, you could pray. I know everybody here knows how to pray. Because when they're going through something that they feel is too difficult for them, they know how to pray. But when it's going good, he says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication. I want to say something. I know some people don't like this. But if you don't know how to pray in the Spirit, you better learn how and cry out to God. Now, not everybody speaks in tongues, but I speak in tongues. I pray in tongues all the time. This morning before church start, I was praying in tongues in back there. But not everybody going to pray in tongues, because the scripture said that's gift. That's a gift. And not everybody going to have that gift, but everybody going to have the Holy Spirit. Because it had times when I had to pray and I didn't even pray in tongues, I would just be groaning, and I know it was the Holy Spirit inside of me communicating with my God. Romans 8:26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. For we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. And he who searches the heart knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. You want to be on point? Do you want to be on point when you pray? Do you want every time you pray, you know that you're praying to the will of God, pray in the Spirit? I was, nothing happened for accident, you know. Nothing happens for accident. I was, last week, I was struggling. This week, this week just begun. I was struggling and I'm thinking and I'm saying, Lord. And finally this week, the Lord says, don't worry about it. Let it happen. Because I'll be able. And a book came back to mind. A book someone sent to me in college when I was struggling. The 2 weeks, you see that 2 weeks in college when I was at the point, I'm wondering, Lord, why you send me here? This is hard. I have no family, and I can't read this textbook. I would open the textbook, and all the words were big words. And this woman sent me a book. No, I don't. I think she sent me the money to buy the book. I can't even remember. It's been 25 years, more than 25, almost 30 years. And that book was called From Prison to Praise. So I went look on my shelf for the book, and I couldn't find the book. I said, man, I may have lent somebody the book. So I downloaded the book from Amazon for $3, the digital copy, and I started reading it. And you know what that, when I get to a certain point in the book, it says, and he got filled with the Spirit and started speaking in tongues. And this was a Baptist preacher. Changed his ministry completely. So guess what? I've been praying in the Spirit a lot. Because when you pray in the Spirit, you pray in the will of God. You know, we could miss it sometimes by praying in English. But Paul said to pray in English and pray in the Spirit. Because when you pray in the Spirit, your understanding is not there. You have to have faith for that. So you have to pray in both. You have to pray with the Spirit and you have to pray with English too. Because when you pray with the Spirit, you yourself don't understand it. Jude 1 and verse 20. But you, beloved, building up yourselves, or building yourselves up in your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, many theologians will tell you all different things what that means. But if you don't believe what I'm telling you, you go seek the Lord. and ask God what it means for me to pray in the Holy Spirit and help me to pray in the Holy Spirit. Because when you pray in the Holy Spirit, your understanding is not very fruitful. But your spirit is. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 14. But if I pray in tongues, my spirit prays, but my mind is unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing with my spirit, but I will sing with my mind also. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen? And your thanksgiving when he does not know what you are saying. For you may give thanks well enough, but other people is not being builded up. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. If Paul can say that, there's something about it. There is something about it. Let me tell you my experience as we get ready to close. As you all realize, I wasn't very well educated because in Trinidad and Tobago, when you get to age 12, you have to take an exam in order to go to high school. You didn't just automatically go to high school. You had to take an exam and you had to pass it. Some people had two tries according to when you were born. I was born where I only had one try. I failed. And because I failed, it's either my parents send me to private school, pay for private school, or that's it for my education. Well, they tried private school, but it wasn't really working. So that was it for my education. So I went to learn a trade, cabinet making. 2-year trade, the government pays for it. You apply, if you get accepted, you go live at the site for 2 years and they will train you. I got accepted and I was being trained. And while I was there, I was a churchgoer. Wasn't saved, but I was a churchgoer. And everybody thought I was a Christian. Because every Sunday morning, I would get up, like many of us on Sunday morning, and I would dress. And back then, you put on your best dress. You didn't go to church without putting on your best dress. So I would put on my best dress, and back then I brought that to the States. I asked Jill, she laughed at my best dress. I had frills. You ever see those shirts with frills coming on the front? There were frills here and frills around the sleeve. And I would get up, and I would think I'm it, put on my frills. Even when I came, I had that suit even when I came to America. But while I was there, two Christian guys befriended me. They thought I was a Christian. And we would have Bible study together. And one day, I broke camp. You're not supposed to leave, so we jumped the fence with a few more guys, and they did a bed count that night, and I was discovered gone. That morning in the assembly, they said, some people wasn't in camp last night. Whoever wasn't in camp, you know, they're trying to be smart, so if they didn't miss somebody, they'll make somebody stand up that didn't know. Whoever wasn't in camp last night, I want you to stand up. And I stand up, and everybody was shocked. This Christian guy break camp last night. But they didn't know. Well, that put those two Christian guys to start praying. And they start praying for me. I didn't know this. They start praying for me, and then they invite me to a carnival camp. Carnival camp means we're going to go off somewhere while everybody have carnival. Carnival. Mardi Gras-like. Okay. And while I was there, for the first time in my life, I saw people praying like I never saw them pray before. I mean, they would be crying. They would be praying and crying. The Spirit was, I mean, I could not even, I was like, whoa, I want that. But I didn't tell him anything. I was in the shower that night and I gave my heart to the Lord. I just said, Lord, take it. Take my heart, God. I want to have what they have. We went back to camp and we had a prayer meeting. Just before bed, the three guys had, me and the two other guys had a prayer meeting. And the dormitory is probably twice this long and there's beds on both sides, bunk beds. You all call them bunk here, we call them double deckers. And I was on the top bed and we knelt down to pray. And you know how we Christians are. They were Christians. Boy, they were saying God, how they love God and how he is El Shaddai. And they were saying how great he is and calling him by all these names. And I don't know any of that. I am brand new. And I just start saying Jesus over and over and Jesus. And all of a sudden, there was something in my gut. I could feel it. And I keep saying Jesus. And it moved from my gut to my throat. And I could feel it. And all of a sudden, I start speaking some kind of Chinese, Japanese. And now, I'm a very reserved person. So I just start, my hands was going sweet. I'm speaking this language and my hands are going like this, you know. Boy, the energy I felt in my body. They had to move the beds away, you know. I wake up everybody. I was afraid, after I finished, I was afraid to even go on the top bunk because I was feeling like if I was on air, like I was walking on air. The next day I felt the same. I went to my teacher and said, teacher, the Lord just did something to me. I don't think I could be in class today. The Lord baptized me with the Holy Spirit and gave me the language of speaking in tongues, and I didn't even ask for it. They had to explain to me the next day what happened. I didn't even know what happened. Folks, we got to be dressed right. And we got to be praying. And we have to be praying in the spirit. Why? Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against spiritual forces in heavenly places. So here's my question. What do you want? It's time for us to be the church. It is time for us to fan into flames what God has given to us and realize that He wants us to be burning, and he gave us everything we need to do the task. He gave us the power, the love, and the song mind. And he wants us to be fully clothed to do his work and to keep in constant prayer. Let us pray. Father, today is a great day to serve you. The time that we are living in is a great time to serve you. Shalom Christian Fellowship is a great place to serve you in. Centerville is a great place for us to share the gospel. Father, what we want is to be a light in this area. We want to shine so brightly that they will see you and glorify you in heaven. Father, help us, O God, first of all, to realize and know what the gift and calling is on our lives. Help us to hold on with faith that we have been given the power, that anointing to do your will, the love, the God type of love, and a sound mind, the sober mind that we get through the Holy Spirit. And Father, help us, O God, not to walk around half-dressed or even naked. Help us to walk around fully clothed with the full armor and constantly in prayer. May we leave this place knowing that we have been changed by the blood of Jesus Christ. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right, before you go...